Joshua chapter 10. My text for this morning is there, that verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thy moon in the valley of Ajalon. Joshua was a man who had witnessed many great and mighty acts performed by the God of Israel. You think of it. He saw how God humbled Pharaoh by sending the various plagues and then slaying the firstborn amongst the Egyptians. And he was also a witness, the great miracle of God dividing the waters of the Red Sea. And as with Moses, he traveled those 40 years in the wilderness and saw how God miraculously fed Israel day by sending manna down from heaven. He also saw water flowing from the rock that quenched the thirst of the children of Israel. But that was not all, because he saw God depart the waters of Jordan. And then he saw the hand of God at work when he conquered the city of Jericho. For we read in Joshua 6 and verse 20, and the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. We need to understand there that when the wall of Jericho came down, they did not come down and form a heap of rubble and stones. No, for it says they fell down flat. That means they went straight into the ground. As the whole wall came down straight into the ground, and that enabled, as we read again in verse 20, that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. No, they didn't have to climb over a heap of rubble, because God had put the wall straight down into the ground. And God did it. Joshua's God did it, because he is the God of miracles. And Joshua now was about to witness another miracle in answer to his prayer. His battle with the Amorites was almost complete, but the day was almost spent, and Joshua didn't want the enemy to escape under the cover of darkness. And so he prayed. And this was his prayer. Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thy moon in the valley of Ajalon. He prayed. And in answer to prayer, God did something that had never been done before. God did something that he never did again. For we read in the verse 14, and there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. When you think of that prayer of Joshua, believer, would it not encourage us with regard to our prayer and what we ask the Lord for. Sure didn't the Lord say, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Great and mighty things. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. And that word mighty, interesting word, that word mighty means difficult to understand. And so the Lord is saying, I can do things for you in answer to your prayers that you will not even be able to understand how I accomplished them. That in itself would encourage us believers to pray. And what took place that day in the battlefield was as the result of the light of Joshua's prayer. So regarding this unusual prayer in which God answered and stopped the world, I trust it will be an encouragement to each one of us with regard to our prayer lives. First thing I want to notice is Joshua and the promise from God. Joshua and the promise from God. The men of Gibeon had asked Joshua and his men, his soldiers, to come and help them against the Amorites. We read that in the verse 6. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servant. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. Then we read in the verse 8 that when Joshua agreed to help against the Ammonites, we read in the verse 8, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. There was the promise from God. Now, regarding this promise from God, it showed us that what Joshua was doing, he had received a word from the Lord. And believer, whatever we attempt for the Lord, whatever we do, it's always good to get a word from God. A word to encourage us. A word to help us and accomplish the work that we've been asked to do. I want us first of all to consider the communication. The communication regarding this promise from God. It is interesting to note the communication between the Lord and Joshua. We notice how God spoke to Joshua and how Joshua then in return spoke to God. If you look there in verse 8, we first of all read, and the Lord said unto Joshua. It was a stern commandment, of course. It was also a word of encouragement. It was a word of encouragement, but that's how the Lord revealed his will to Joshua. It just simply says, and the Lord said unto Joshua. Now look at the verse 12. And we can see how Joshua addressed the Lord. For verse 12 says, then spake Joshua to the Lord that day. No, it doesn't say that Joshua cried to the Lord. It just simply says that he simply spoke to the Lord. Now that presents to us the picture of two friends, as it were, in conversation. Does it not speak to us of the close relationship that existed between God and Joshua. In the one place, and the Lord said unto Joshua. In another place, then spake Joshua to the Lord. It reminds us very much of the relationship that existed between Moses and the Lord. You turn there to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33, verses 9. We read in verse 9, Exodus 33. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. Now look at verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. So that was the relationship that Moses had with God. God spake with Moses, talked with him. And then we're told that he spoke with Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And surely when you look at the communication between God and Joshua, you have a similar relationship. They were able to talk with one another, able to speak with one another. Not cry out to God, but simply to talk. Is it any wonder then that Joshua, being in such a relationship with the Lord, that he was able to ask God to cause the sun to stand still in the midst of heaven? You see, believer, when you're in a close relationship with God, there's no telling what we can ask the Lord for and what petitions and prayers and burdens we can bring to him. May the Lord indeed draw us into a closer walk with God, that when we pray, it'll be like friend speaking with friend. As well as the communication, we see here also the conflict. As Joshua was preparing to go out against the Amorites, he was assured that God would go with him and God would give him the victory. That was his promise. Verse 8 again, fear not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. God had assured Joshua of the victory. This tells us that Joshua was going into battle in accordance with God's will, in accordance with the will of God. So that when Joshua offered up this prayer for victory that day and asked the Lord to cause the sun to stand still, he was praying in accordance with the will of God. That's important. His prayer was based upon what God had promised him. And he prayed according to God's will. Doesn't Joshua teach us to always pray in accordance with the will of God? We read in James 4 and verse 3. Ye ask and receive not, because, mark that, because, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. The word lust there means pleasure. We ask amiss because we're not praying in accordance with God's will. But then John, the apostle, tells us how we ought to pray. we can say, all right, John, tell us, John, how we ought to pray. John says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatever soever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. What a great word that is. This is the confidence. You see, when you pray in accordance with the will of God, you have confidence that God is going to answer, that God will answer your prayer. That's what Joshua had when he prayed this prayer. He had confidence in God. You know what it's like, believer. At times when you pray about certain matters, the devil comes. And as much as tells you, oh, God will not answer that prayer. And then your mind is filled with doubt. And you begin to think, well, maybe God will not answer this prayer. Listen, we need confidence. If you're praying in accordance with the will of God, doesn't matter what the devil tells you. God has said in his word, if you pray according to his will, he will answer. He will answer that prayer. We notice not only the communication and the conflict, we have also the conquest. Joshua went into the battle against the Amorites, as I've said, knowing that he was going to be victorious. We've read that in the verse 8. So when Joshua prayed, it was based on God's promise. Isn't that how we ought to pray? And pray over God's promises that the Lord has given to us. I'm sure God has given you a promise. Maybe it's the promise of the salvation of a loved one. Maybe it is the promise regarding the solving of some problem in your life. And God has promised you through his word that he will solve that problem, that God will save that person that you're praying for, that personal promise, that particular, that precious promise. Well, when we come before God, we claim God's promise, the promise that the Lord has given to us. See, it's Spurgeon used to say, when God gives you a promise, he said, don't frame it, but claim it. Sometimes we frame the promises that God has given to us. Let us claim God's promises. And those promises that you plead every time you come to the throne of grace, those matters you've been praying for, perhaps for years, you bring it again and again and again. Well, if God has given you that promise, listen, he'll fulfill it. He will answer that prayer if that prayer is regarding a promise that God has given to you. Listen to what David said. David said, therefore now, Lord, let the thing that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house be established forever. And, listen, and do as thou hast said. So there's David. He's praying over God's promise that God gave to him regarding himself and his house. And David said, do as thou hast promised. Listen, believer, let us then, when we go to the throne of grace, when we pray then, what promise the Lord has given to you. Then come reverently before the Lord and say, Lord, do as thou hast promised. Lord, thou hast given me a promise. Lord, come and fulfill that promise. I have confidence to believe thou art able to fulfill and keep that promise. As well as Joshua and the promise from God, we notice next Joshua and his praying to God. His praying to God. We will notice here in Joshua's prayer, his asking. How Joshua asked in prayer. It was, you'll notice, a short, simple prayer, no more than a dozen words in our English translation. But it was what he prayed for that would get our attention. For in verse 12, he prayed, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thy moon in the valley of Ajalon. When you look at that, his asking, notice his belief. In other words, what Joshua prayed for, listen, what Joshua prayed for, he believed. He believed God, and he believed God could and would do what he had asked for. Isn't that what was said about Abraham? Said of Abraham, Abraham believed God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. What was it he believed God about? Well, we know that Abraham had no son of his own. But God then promised him a son. But Abraham had to wait 25 years before that promise was fulfilled. And God answered that prayer when Abraham was 100 years old. Now, we all know that, humanly speaking, that would have been impossible for a man to have a son in his 100th year. But what does God say? What does the Lord say? With God, all things are possible. Praise the Lord. With God, all things are possible. Matthew 19, verse 26. And listen again to what the Lord said. The Savior himself said, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Well, Joshua knew that, and Joshua believed that. Joshua believed God. Would he have prayed such a prayer had he not believed God? Could have done it? Joshua believed God when he asked, Lord, cause the sun to stand still in the midst of heaven. He believed God would do it. He believed God could do it. And whenever we come to the Lord, with those personal, particular matters that maybe you wouldn't make known to anybody else, but you've been praying about them in your time of devotion, day and day, day after day, you brought those matters before the Lord. Well, in light of what Joshua prayed, then there is nothing in your prayer. Listen. There's nothing in your prayers that is beyond the reach or the capability of our God. We rejoice in that. We rejoice in that truth. There is nothing beyond the capability of our God. What are you praying for? God is able to answer your prayer, as well as his belief. We see his boldness. This indeed was a bold request just of itself. But then we are told that he made this petition, this request, he said it in the sight of Israel. So Joshua didn't go over some quiet place on the battlefield and whisper this prayer. Not at all. He prayed in the sight of Israel. In other words, others heard him pray. They saw him pray. His fellow soldiers would have heard him cry out, "Son, stand thou still." Because Joshua had confidence that God would answer his prayer. Can you imagine how big of a fool Joshua would have appeared in the eyes of Israel had he prayed this prayer and nothing happened? Men would have been laughing at him. But that wasn't Joshua. Joshua was confident God would answer his prayer, even though it meant causing the sun to stand still in heaven. Now we know the Lord would speak about the old Pharisee and how they loved to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. But that wasn't Joshua. That, of course, was not Joshua. Joshua prayed before all Israel because he knew God would answer his prayer. It was something that came to him as natural as being in his closet, as natural as praying when he's in his closet and just by himself. He came and he prayed this prayer on the battlefield before all Israel. What he did certainly demonstrated his confidence and his faith in God. So let us not hold back, believer. Don't hold back when you come to pray about certain matters. The Savior has encouraged us when he has said, "Have faith in God." Mark 11, verse 22. Have faith in God. The Lord Jesus tells us to have faith in God. And we can apply that when we come to prayer. As well as the answer, as well as the asking, we have the answer. Yes, the Lord God of heaven answered Joshua's prayer. Verse 13, there we read, "And the sun stood still." Exactly what Joshua had asked for. The sun stood still and the moon stayed. What Joshua had asked for. Until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. There you have the longest day. The day that God stopped the world. There was the answer. No matter what we ask God for, according to his will, listen, he has promised to answer those prayers. And God answered Joshua's prayer in an instant. And in that instant, God stopped the world in response to Joshua's petition. Now, what are we praying for? Is it anything like stopping the sun in the heavens? Do we ever ask God to do that? No. Well, if God stopped the world in answer to Joshua's prayer. Listen, what will God not do for us in answering our prayer? If God is able to stop the world and extend the length of a day, then is there anything too hard for God to do for us? Of course, there's not. Just as Jeremiah said, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out thine arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Well, if God stretched out the heaven and the earth by his great power and stretched out arm, that's right, there's nothing too hard for God. And if God stopped the sun in the heavens, there's nothing too hard for God. Take that, believer. Take that to the throne of grace when you pray. And when you pray, have it in your mind. There's nothing too hard for God. Whatever you're praying for, remember, there's nothing too hard for God. As well as the asking and the answer, we have the account. Yes, we have the account of that great day here in the inspired word. But you'll notice what took place that day. There was an account of it in an uninspired word in the book of Jasher. Is not this written in the book of Jasher, verse 13? Can you imagine? Think of it. If God did that today, if God was pleased to stop the world, if God was going to stop the sun in the midst of the heavens, and there'd be a long day, do you think the news media would get a hold of that and would be recording it and wondering what's taking place? Of course, there's a day coming in which something like that will happen, when the moon turns to blood and the stars fall from heaven. They'll do some recording that day. But in the meantime, if God were to stop the sun in the sky, it would be recorded. People would take note of it. As you know, I'm from Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland, 1859. There was a great revival. Mighty revival. Men have been praying for revival for 2 years. In 1859, revived. In 1859, the revival broke out. Spirit of God began to work. Publicans would close their pubs and their clubs, and they would be seen out on the street pouring the drink down the drain. Praise the Lord. They would pour the booze down the drain, and their places where they sold their drink before, they turned into meeting houses. There was a great move of the Spirit of God. Things happened throughout the province. And you know something? It was recorded in the newspapers what was taking place in the land. In the newsletter, which is still being published today, the newsletter recorded the events that were taking place in the land at that time. If we gave ourselves to prayer and prayed with the confidence in God that Joshua had, we would see revival. We would see that move of God. And the papers would be recording it, what is taking place in the local towns and villages. So let us take all that the Lord has taught us here today through Joshua's prayer and apply it to our own prayer lives, remembering the words of Paul, that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. That's what our God is able to do, Ephesians 3 and 20. They've considered Joshua and the promise from God. And then we have Joshua and his praying to God. That leaves us finally to look at Joshua and the power of God. The power of God. We have the Holy Spirit's commentary on what took place. The verse 14. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. No day like it, before it or after it, that God hearkened unto the voice of a man. Something similar actually took place in the days of Hezekiah, when Hezekiah was told by Isaiah that he would die and not live. Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and began to pray. And God answered his prayer, told him that he would add to his life another 15 years and would give him a sign that his prayer was answered. And Isaiah prayed regarding that sign. For we read in 2 Kings 20. 2 Kings 20 and verse 11. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord. And he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward. That is the shadow of the sun. 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. God brought the sun backwards, extended the day as a sign that he had heard the prayer of Hezekiah. But what we have here is something even greater, because the Holy Ghost has recorded there's not a day like it, not before it or after it. Here we have then the wonder. The wonder. We're told there was no day like that before it or after it. Why? Because of what God did in answer to prayer. God demonstrated his mighty power. Let me ask you, what have you been burdened about? What have you been specifically praying about and praying for? Let's say it's the salvation of a loved one, a husband, a wife, a son, or a daughter. Well, if God were to answer that prayer, let's say if God were to answer that prayer even today, you've been praying that prayer, you've been asking the Lord to save that person for years. But if God were to answer it today, I would say you would always forget that, always remember this day. You'd never forget this day. You might even put it right down in your diary and say, on this day, the 23rd day of January 2022, God answered my prayer. You'd always remember this day, just as you always remember the day that God saved you. You still remember the time, you still remember the place, you still remember the date. For me, I can say it was the 5th of May, 1969, at about 9:30 on a Monday evening. God save my soul. Praise the Lord. I still remember it. Not a day like it. Just as Joshua saw something to take place that day, and the Holy Ghost recorded it. Not a day like it. So when we come to pray, believer, take this to heart. What God did for Joshua, well, he can do for you You're not going to be asking for the sun to stand still in the sky. No. But whatever you're asking for, if God was able to do that for Joshua, he's able to do for you what you're asking for. As well as the wonder, you have the willingness. The willingness. And there was no day like it, before it or after it, that the Lord listened, the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. The Lord God of heaven, the Almighty, listened to, hearkened unto the voice of a man. When you pray, think of those words. God hearkened unto the voice of a man. We ought to read those words over and over again. God hearkened unto the voice of a man. Sure, he hearkened unto the voice of blind Bartimaeus and gave him his sight. He hearkened unto the voice of Jairus and raised up his daughter from her deathbed. He hearkened unto the voice of the centurion and healed his servant. He hearkened unto the voice of the leprous man, touched him, and made him clean. You see, it is true. It is true. God, the Lord, hearkened unto the voice of a man. Believer, he'll hearken unto your voice, unto my voice. He has the power, listen, he has the power to do whatsoever you ask of him. He has the power. He is able. Well, didn't he stop the sun in the sky for Joshua? And the moon stayed for Joshua in answer to his prayer. The Lord told the disciples, or the disciples rather said, of the Lord that time, in the midst of the storm, there they were in the boat, thought they were going to drown. The Lord was fast asleep. They went, they awoke the Lord, said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? That a silly thing to say. Nobody cared for them more than Christ did. But they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? The Lord stood up, stilled the tempest. And what did the disciples say? What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the seas obey him? Yes. And so does the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven. He created them all, and they all obey him. Remember that, believer. Remember what we read here in Joshua chapter 10 and verse 12 and 13, what Joshua prayed. And God answered that prayer. He is able. He is able. May the Lord bless the word to our hearts. And remember, when we come to pray that Joshua is God. And remember what God did for Joshua. May the Lord bless the word to all of our hearts today. Let's just bow our heads together in the word of prayer. O Lord our God, we rejoice that we've been reminded today that God does hearken unto the voice of man. And we pray, Lord, that when we seek thy face, when thy dear people call upon thee, Lord, may those words come into their mind. God hearken unto the voice of a man. Lord, answer the prayers of thy children, those loved ones that have been prayed for years, those needs that have been prayed over for years, those burdens, Lord, answer prayer, for thou art able. Thou art able. Thy Lord did cause the sun to stand still in the heavens. Lord, if thou art able to do that, and they are, and thou did do it, then, Lord, thou art able, capable of answering our prayer. Be with thy people, Lord, today in Cloverdale. Bless the congregation there. Lord, as each one makes their way home, grant traveling mercy and give health and wellness and safety to all. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be your abiding portion now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen. Amen.